Ray was reaching for my notes. I was like, okay. Okay, so, you know, we just sang that line which says, he walks and he talks with me. And today I wanted to spend some time looking from the book of Exodus and the main theme being our walk with the Lord, our walk with the Lord. And, you know, as I was thinking about, you know, what I should be speaking and looking to the Lord in prayer and, you know, waiting to hear from him as to what does he put in my heart. And this is a subject that has been in my heart, I would say, the last couple of months. And I shared a bit with the men at the men's meeting a couple of months ago. And it's just something that, you know, sometimes, you know, we read the Bible again and again. And every time we read the Bible, the new truths or things that we need or that we are looking into our lives or we are introspecting in our lives, that different passages speak out to us. And this has been something that I've looked into. For those who are here on the Wednesday meeting, you know, I prayed about a brother called Alan Luther, and he was an elder of the Grace Assembly in Delhi. And that was the assembly that Rebe and I were saved and came to the Lord and were baptized. And we were just there for about a year, but the Lord used that assembly mightily in that short period. And so this week, again, I was thinking, you know, of this man, you know, Alan Luther, who was so full of joy and positivity and in his walk with the Lord, and reflecting on my life and seeing what has been my walk, you know, since then. This was in 2002. Since then, how has been my walk with the Lord? And I think, like many of you, I've had the high moments and the low moments in my life, and it's not always constant. You know, it goes up and down. And so today, I just want to spend some time from a few verses that we'll be going through, from largely from between Exodus chapter 12 and chapter 15. And we'll look at some of the verses there and some other references also as we think about our walk with the Lord. So let's look to the Lord for prayer. And before we start, our Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time you've given us, O Lord, to gather here, O Lord, to worship thee, to remember, O Lord, what thou did for us, O Lord. O Lord, we remember the words of Job: how can a mortal stand before a righteous God? And, O Lord, when we think about our lives, there's nothing in our lives. There's nothing we could do. And the question in our lives should have also been, how can we stand before a righteous God? But today, O Lord, we stand here confidently and boldly, O Lord, because of what Christ has done for us. We thank you, O Lord, for all that you have done for us. O Lord, as we look into our lives, O Lord, help us to introspect our life and our walk with thee, O Lord. How much we are fully trusting in thee and walking with thee as we are singing today, O Lord. And as we spend some time, O Lord, in this portion of scripture, pray that the words that I speak may be thy words, that you may give us a heart to listen, me first, and a heart, O Lord, to do what we hear, O Lord. Lead us, O Lord, direct us, O Lord, as we spend some time in thy word. The most precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Okay, so for the first, let's just look at Exodus chapter 12 and verse 40. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 40. Now the length of time the Israelite people lived in Egypt was 430 years. So we know the background behind this. I think we all know, you know, the Israelites were in Egypt in captivity for 430 years. That seemed to be a really long period of time. You know, they were in captivity for 430 years. And, you know, as I think about that, when we think about our lives, when we think about what we're going through, and I know, you know, there are many people here who are in different situations in their life. Maybe there are things that they are praying for. Maybe there are jobs that they're looking for. Maybe it's getting a loved one to walk with the Lord. maybe it's people in the family who have not known the Lord. Many things that go on in our lives, you know, some of them we speak and we share in prayers, some of them we don't, right? And so for many of us, we go through that. And I was thinking about the Israelites. They were in captivity for 430 years. We think when we go through problems, you know, for a certain period of time, we think, oh, you know, no one's, God is not listening to my prayer. He's not answering my prayer. What is happening? For long periods of time, and I'm sure we have been through that, and some of us may be going through that right now. What is your will? How are you going to get us out of this place? What's my future going to look like? Am I going to live in captivity, as Israelites may have been thinking, for so long? 430 years have gone by. But, you know, if you look at, I'll just read this verse from Exodus chapter 6 and verse 5. Exodus chapter 6 and verse 5, it reads, this is the Lord saying, God saying, "Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I'll bring you under the yoke, from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I'll redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment." You know, the Lord hears our groaning. The Lord hears and knows the problems that we go through in our life. He knows each one of us, and He understands all the problems that we have. So, as we're going through this walk of life, as you're going through this walk with the Lord, let's not lose heart. Just as the Israelites were there for 430 long years under captivity, in our lives, when whatever we are struggling with, the Lord knows. The Lord hears our groaning. It says in Proverbs, right? He's closer than a friend. He's there with us each step of our lives and knows exactly what we're going through. And I think about my life, and, you know, this was in 2010, you know, and my walk with the Lord, you know, I had my high moments, and I would say 2010 were the moments of my life where my walk with the Lord really fell apart, you know, and I knew in my heart that I'm not spending enough time in the Word. I'm not walking with the Lord. And, you know, you have that inner voice that tells you, come back to the Lord. And it was something that happened to me also. And I prayed. But what was going on in my life at that point in time was that I was so obsessed with a game called badminton. And all my life, all my time I got, I was spending playing that game. And I wanted to get out of it. But it's something, you know, sometimes in our lives, something grips us. Sin grips us. A god, you know, like we talk about, you shall have no other idols. That was my idol in my life. I will find time for that game. And I knew that it was affecting my walk with the Lord. And I prayed. But you know what? I didn't do anything about it. But God heard my prayer. God heard my prayer. No, it's not like you're thinking. I didn't just get up one day and say, oh yeah, okay, I'm changed now. You know, I'm going to walk with the Lord now. No. I went to play badminton one day. I fell. I tore my ACL. And that was the end of badminton. So it's not exactly what I had hoped for. You know, I had hoped the Lord would speak to me one day when I get up in the morning and I would be a changed person. But I can look back in my life before I was saved. I was a chain smoker. I was almost an alcoholic. I just smoked 40 cigarettes every day. I got saved. I couldn't do anything without cigarettes at different times of the day, right? But I got up one day soon after I got saved, and I never touched that alcohol or the cigarettes ever again as an addiction. It was something I could not even imagine. So the Lord can work in your lives in that way, but He can also work in your lives with discipline. And I've experienced that. And that's been as I look at my walk with the Lord. And so I read one verse from 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their prayer. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. You might think, oh, am I righteous? We are righteous. If you are born again, if you've accepted the Lord, you're righteous, not because of what you did, but because of what Christ accomplished for you. He hears you. He hears your cry, and he's going to be there for you. So never lose heart, whatever your struggles are. He is listening to you. I was, looking through this, you see chapter 13, Exodus chapter 13 and verse 19. Verse 19. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid, and you must carry my bones up with you from this place. You know, and I was thinking about it, as the Israelites were walking out, they were carrying the bones of Joseph, who died so many, many, many years ago. What would have happened? I'm sure the children would have asked, what is this that you're carrying? Why are you carrying his bones? What a testimony at that point to be able to say, hey, Joseph said all those years ago, God will surely deliver you. Take my bones when you're leaving this place. He didn't say, if God delivers you, then take my bones. He said, God will surely deliver you. Right? And I think that's the message that we see from that passage is God will surely deliver. And God has done it as we can all see in our lives in the past. Let's look at a second verse from Exodus chapter 13 and verse 17. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. You know, that's so astounding there. God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, although that was shorter. Basically, God took them through the long route. God took them through the long route. And there's a reason there why God gives there. You know, what spoke to me is that God knows each one of us intimately. He knows what we're capable of. He knows what we can withstand. You know, I often think about Job and see all that he had gone through. And I always think to myself, I mean, is it even possible for a normal human being to go through what he's gone through? God knew. God knew Job. God knew what he could go through. There are many of us struggling. I've seen different people, you know, struggling with different things in their life. But God knows each one of us and knows exactly what we can go through. You know, yesterday, and we may not understand this completely of why things happen in our life or why God allows things to happen in our life. And, you know, I was thinking yesterday, I went to drop him. Nathan had tuition, so I went to drop him. And my car was really dirty, so I went, got it washed. Went back, picked him up, and I was coming back home, and as I, there's a stop sign, and then we have the first right is our home. So I came to the stop sign, stopped there, and moved ahead. I'm still on the left lane, and Nathan was like looking at me, and why are you on this lane? Aren't we turning right? What he didn't know is that I had gone on that road before, and I saw there was a small puddle of water there, and I had just washed my car, so I was not going to go over that puddle, right? Now, he didn't know that. But he was looking at me like, where are we going? Right? I knew something that he didn't know. I knew I had just washed a car. I knew there was a puddle there. And I'm going to keep the left lane till I get over that. And then I will turn right. Right? The same thing in our lives as we think about our lives. Sometimes when we are going through, you know, as we're going through things in our life, we wonder, why wouldn't God just speak to us or clear the hurdles or make everything well immediately? If I'm suffering from a sickness, why do I have to go through this prolonged period? Why can't I just get better? Get up in the morning and be better? Do you think God can do that? Absolutely. But you know, as Uncle George John prayed, God has a master plan. He has a master plan for each of our lives. He doesn't just have a master plan for his people. Of course he has a master plan. We all know that. But he has a master plan for each one of you and for your lives. We read again and again in the Bible that You know, God's ways are much higher. His understanding is much higher. I think the problem that we have in our lives nowadays is that everything has to make logical sense. It has to be step one and step two according to the ways we think. And we often think about how our lives are in that way. Is that organized in that way? But you know, the Lord led them through the longer way because he knew the Israelites. He knew what they were capable of. He knew that what would go on in their hearts. And the Lord is leading you, whichever that road is. Maybe it's the shorter route, maybe it's the longer route. Because that's part of the plan that God has for you. And so in our lives, as we live our lives, you know, our prayers may be more of, oh Lord, lead us where you want us to be. Not what I want to do, not what I think is best for my life, but where you want us to go. The road may not often be smooth and without problems, but that's the best place to be in. The other thing I think about that is that, you know, I was thinking, okay, so what would have happened if the Lord had led them through that shorter route, you know, and just gone straight north instead of going south? What would have happened? You know, we wouldn't have heard about this Red Sea crossing. That wouldn't have happened. Maybe when the Lord is leading you through a longer path, he's looking for you to have a Red Sea experience through which he can be glorified. Maybe the Lord is looking. You know, my dad's sister, she passed away and is in the Lord's presence now. She was in a bed rest, not bed rest, she was unconscious, being fed by tubes for about 2 years. And I would go and see her every time we go to India. And she was just like bones. And I would wonder, I mean, what good can come out of this situation? Why would God allow this to happen? Why couldn't God just take her away? What good could come out of that situation? Aren't those situations that we face in our lives also, if you're going through problems and losses, what good could come out of this situation? You know, there was a home nurse that they got to take care of her because she was completely bedridden. She came from North India. And at the time she passed away, by the time she passed away, this lady who had never seen a Bible, never read the Bible before, from a Hindu background, you know, over those 2 years, she learned to know the Lord. She trusted in the Lord. The Lord had a plan. The Lord had a plan. We don't understand that. At times when we go through in our lives, and I'm sure all of us have gone through difficulties in our life, and I have seen people go through problems and troubles and see how the Lord has led them and how their lives have been and the testimony that their lives have had, and it's drawn me closer in my walk with the Lord. Now you may think, oh, you know, if I go through all these trials and temptations or all these things that come in my life, you know, what will happen? You know, can I withstand that? And we see a verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. I'm just going to read this very quickly. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up against it. And we can see that, you know, it says here, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted, and that word also, I believe, is used to describe trials. He will not let you be tempted or tried beyond what you can bear. And if the other promises that we know, I mean, as we think about the Israelites and their walk in the desert and in the wilderness, they went through a lot of problems and trials and temptations and. God led them through all that, and I think it's the same thing with our lives. And I'll just read a few other verses. Proverbs 18, verses 24. Proverbs 18, verse 24 reads, "A man of many companions may come close to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Who is that friend? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the friend that will stick closer than a brother. In our walk in life, in our walk through life, in difficulties and problems and trials and temptations that we go through life, there is a friend. We have a friend that would stick closer than a brother. And our Lord is with us in that walk. Many times I've heard people say, there's that verse, I think it's in Philippians 4, which says, I can do all things through Christ, right? And sometimes there's a lot of emphasis on, I can do all things. I can manage, whatever trials and temptation that comes in my life, I can manage. No, you cannot manage. No. Our focus is not to be on my ability to manage trials and temptations that comes in my life, but my focus should be on God's ability to help me manage, on His grace, on what He provides. Our focus should be not inward, but Godward. As we focus have a focus towards God and asking Him to help us and guide us and lead us, I think we'll find that strength. It's through Christ. It's not through me alone. You and I know, as we have walked, I have certainly tried it many times in my ability and my effort to do things, and I know where that's ended up. And that's the second portion that we looked there. Let's look at another verse, Exodus 14 and verse 10. Exodus 14 and verse 10. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. So can you picture this? The Israelites, the Lord had worked wonders, and He had led them out of Egypt. They had seen the Lord at work, and all that He had done, He had led them out of Egypt. And here on their walk, they look back, and what do they see? They see the Egyptians marching after them. And they're terrified. Does this not remind us of experiences in our life? Maybe as we think about our jobs. Is my job going to go away? Is something going to happen there? My health, something happens. Or we anticipate things happening. Or broken relationships. Or family members who are not walking with the Lord. We look back. The Lord has led us all these years. The Lord has shown to us His marvelous works and His awesome power and all that He's done in our lives. But when trouble comes, we look at it and we are terrified. We look at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. 14 and the portion, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the portion from 22 to verse 33. So that's really a portion where we see, the Lord calling to Peter, Jesus calling to Peter and saying, come, and Peter gets down to the boat, walks on the water and comes towards Jesus. But what happens? What happens just then? His eyes is off Jesus. And his eyes are on the waves and on the sea. And he says, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, Lord, save me. Lord, you see that terrifying? That verse there, Lord, save me. So much resembles the cry of the Israelites there. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. Is that not what's happened so many times in our lives? When we see problems coming our way, then we look back and we look at what's happening in our lives and we are terrified. We look at that same portion that we read in Matthew's Gospel and just look at verse 30 there, 14 and 30. Then he says, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. And then we see what the Lord does. And then at the end we see, he says, those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. That's been our experience time and again. My experience personally, as I've looked at my walk with the Lord, is that as things have happened, whether it's job movements, whether it's been health and issues that happen in our lives, and I still remember when, Nathan was diagnosed with meningitis or when Ruth had a skull fracture, or, you know, all those kind of issues that happen in our life, we're so terrified immediately. It's we're human, right? But we can see the Lord delivering on that in our life again and again. And that's something I think that we need to trust on Him more, you know, and lean on Him. And we see, as we look further in that verse, what Moses said, right? What Moses said to them. He said, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you'll see the deliverance." Stand firm. I think, as we see in Scripture again and again, we see that word, stand firm. Stand firm. As things happen in our lives, as we go through trials, as we go through problems, as we face situations that we did not anticipate, our need is to stand firm. And you might think, okay, now walk with the Lord, what does stand firm? You know, does that mean we're not doing anything? No, we're standing firm on His word. I know, you know, that we all know that familiar verse in Psalm 46 and verse 10. Be still and know that I am Lord. Be still and know that I am Lord. Many times when we go through that, we're terrified. You know, I think about myself, and, you know, if I was in that situation, you know, what would I have done? Run? Hide? That's our natural reaction as human beings as we go through difficulties and problems in our life. It's run and hide. It reminded me of, you know, the portion in Habakkuk, and in interest of time, I'm not going to turn to that, but, you know, as we see the prophet Habakkuk, and he talks about all the problems and all the issues of the people's unfaithfulness and all the trials and all the persecutions that they're going through, the Lord answers him, right? And then, let me just get anyway to that. So the Lord answers him, and then he again keeps complaining to the Lord, right, that you're using the Babylonians to persecute us, and why are you allowing this, and all that complaints, right? In our lives also that happens, right? When we go through problems, like, Lord, why are you allowing this to happen? And we have all that complaints, and we are trying to do a lot of things. But what happens with Habakkuk at that time? At the end of chapter 1, he finishes all his complaints. And then in chapter 2, the first two verses say, you know, what Habakkuk decided. He said, "I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint." So he says there, "I will stand and watch. I will stand and watch." When we go through that kind of situations, how many times do we stand firm? How many times do we stand and watch? How many times do we look to the Lord for what? For either the grace to bear through that situation? Our prayers is always, so also is mine, "Take this away from me." But how much is it for Him to give us grace to manage that situation? And I love how chapter 2 and verse 2 starts. You know, when Habakkuk stood and watched and waited, it says in verse 2, "Then the Lord answered." Then the Lord replied. The Lord wants us to look to Him, to wait and to look to Him for His guidance here. And we can see that same thing that plays out in Exodus chapter, in that same portion chapter, in chapter 14 and verse 15, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses," then the Lord said to Moses. What did Moses say? "Do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord." The Lord has delivered in our lives again and again. So let's stand firm and look at and experience His deliverance. Next verse we'll look quickly is Exodus chapter 14 and verse 31. "And when the Israelites saw the great power the Lord displayed against Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in Him and in Moses, His servant." Wow. You know, haven't we been in those moments in our lives where we've been full of joy and happiness and our walk with the Lord, and we are so charged up because the Lord had answered our prayers when we see His great power? And, you know, as I read through that verse, I was thinking, you know, and we will look at, even if you go down to chapter 15, you know, the whole verse 15 right up to from 1 to 19 is a song of the Israelites. So they're so happy. They're so awestruck by what the Lord has done for them. And they break into a song. You know, in fact, that chapter 15, that's the first recorded song or, you know, in the scripture, or singing that happens in the scripture. The first time that we have seen song or singing happening is here in chapter 15 and verses, you know, those initial verses. Isn't that been our experience also? We've had so many answered prayers that have happened in our lives. And we are so happy then. We are so full of joy. You know, we saw in that portion we read about Peter. It says, then the people worshipped. They worshipped the Lord. That's what happens in our lives. We are full of joy and happiness and for what the Lord has done for us in our lives. And, you know, I often think about it, you know, from this, from the world's perspective, right? You know, when for many years when I never was in the church, you know, one of the things I always looked in the church, I was like, what's wrong? Everyone comes into church, they're so sad, glum, no one has got any joy, no one's got any energy. Everyone's coming in as if they're carrying the whole weight of the world on their shoulders. Where's that joy? And I think, you know, as the world looks, as we live in this world, you know, for our, both from our lives as well as the church, we need to be seen as something that will attract the world to it. You know, I think of, I mean, when I was growing up, and I had the, I don't think we see that too much now, but when I was growing up in Nigeria, you know, in the evenings, there would be, most of the time, there would be no electricity. And so we would just go out and play. And certain times of the year, you would have fireflies. I don't know how many of you have seen fireflies in the night, right? So beautiful. What, you know, if you had a butterfly flying, a beautiful butterfly flying, or a firefly flying in the night, what would you be attracted to? You couldn't see all the design in that butterfly, but you could see the light from the firefly. Right? That's what the world is looking for. We are, and the Bible again and again says we're supposed to be light in this world. What is our life? Is our life about grumbling and being disappointed, having no trust? You know, the people of the world watch us and they know. Are these people who are very happy when everything good happens in their lives? What happens when something not so good happens in their life? Do they have, you know, they talk about God all the time, but do they have that sense of confidence and peace and trust in this God whom they say is almighty? Do they have that? Are we fireflies? Are we that fireflies in this world? And I think we need to think about our life. You know, I recall a situation in my life. Again, this whole badminton period, where one of our friends who was a Hindu used to play with us all the time. And, you know, something bad would happen in our life. And around that time, I would post a Bible verse on Facebook. Right? And so it got so used to that that, you know, many years after we moved to the U.S., I posted a Bible verse. And, you know, he sent me a private message and said, is everything going on okay in your life? Is something happened? Someone sick? Everyone okay? That's, the world is watching. That's that testimony. He associated me with every time something goes bad, I'm going to put a verse there on Facebook. And so when everything was going fine, many years later when I put a verse, he thought, okay, something is going wrong. Right? And so I think that's something that we need to think about in our lives. And I'll just, one more portion and I'll just close with that is, so we have this high moment, right, in the lives of the Israelites. Everything's going so great for them. They're singing. They're, you know, full of joy. You know, everyone is singing. We have not even got to the end of that chapter. Look at what happens. Not even to the end of that chapter. And we get in verse 24. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what are we to drink? My God. Not even to the end of that chapter. Look at chapter 16. And we see the grumblings again there. In chapter 16, verse 2. In the desert, and the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted, but you have brought us into this desert to starve the entire assembly to death. Oh my gosh, the grumbling. They have just seen the parting of the Red Sea. They have just seen all their enemies, the Egyptians, completely wiped out. I mean, just think about, I mean, I often think, if I was there, would I grumble? I've seen the Lord really at work. But isn't that very true of our lives? The Lord again and again delivers. We again and again grumble. We again and again complain about things we don't have. You know, yesterday I was sitting at home and I was preparing for this and Ribi had taken the kids out to the park. And so on Friday night, we had gone out for dinner. So we took the kids out for dinner. On Saturday morning, we had the men's meeting, came back, and then, you know, the kids were like, oh, I want to go out, I want to go to the park, I want to do this. I said, okay, take them to the park. I thought they would be so happy. I'm sitting and preparing, and then Ruth comes in straight to the study. Dan, can we go for a movie or can we go for bowling? I was like, you just came back from the park. You're like, oh no, we never get to do anything fun. Have you heard that? Isn't that just like our lives? The Lord has given us everything we want. The Lord has answered our prayer again and again. But then, oh, you know, you never got this. I never got that job. My health is not perfect. Right? That's, to me, if I look into my life about something that happened again and again in my life that we see there. And the last thing is, you know, God's provision. God's provision. You look at chapter 16 and verse 17, and I'm not going to read it, but basically what it said is that it didn't say that everyone got an equal measure. It says, and they measured, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. Right? We all know we are different people with different appetites. You know, I always say Nathan is like a bottomless pit. I mean, how much he eats, he's not satisfied. He can eat as much as he wants. That verse really tells us, some people gathered much, and that was enough for them. Some people could gather little, and that was enough for them. Every need supplied. Every need supplied. Right? We read Psalms 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He knows each one of us individually. He knows each of our wants. And so as we live our lives in this world, you know, we should think about, you know, there are two aspects to this that I want to just summarize with, is that our walk with the Lord, we all know we make mistakes. We all know we grumble. We all know that many times in our life we are not grateful for what the Lord has done for us. We also know there are times in our life where we have seen the Lord delivering us and we're supercharged and we are at a high point. I always think in my life, if only I could pause that right there and let that play out for the rest of my life. But I think in our walk with the Lord, let's remember, He's done much for us. He's delivered us. He has a master plan for us. He hears our crying. He knows our needs. He will supply us what we need. He will only give us what we can bear. That should encourage us in our walk in our life. Let's also remember that the world, we can talk all the gospel we want to the world out there, but if our lives do not reflect that, it does not mean anything. People out there don't want to worship, you know, this God you worship, you know, who when troubles go in your life, you're like, everything's gone and I'm destroyed. Do they want that? Are we the joy? Do we have joy in our lives? Are we the fireflies as we live in this world? You know, you might think now, oh, you know, this is all of old, right? These are all these people, Israelites, they saw God's glory, you know, and what he did for them, you know, and this is all in the Bible, and this is the disciples, they were with Jesus, you know. So all these examples is not really worth, you know, why are we talking about it now? Let me tell you a story about something that's very recent, relatively recent. There was a couple called Mr. and Mrs. Louisa Stead. They had a 4-year-old daughter called Lily. One day, they went to the park, and this is a real-life story, happened in the, I think, late 1800s. Went to a park, and were having a great time there, and the husband saw a young boy was drowning. He jumped in to save that young boy, and he drowned, and that boy drowned. And the father was the only earning member in the family, and the family went through a whole lot of problems. And it was a period in time where Louisa, who's the wife, questioned, why? Why did this happen? And do you know what song came out of this? Does anyone know what song came out of this? 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, and to know, thus saith the Lord. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. There was another gentleman, Horatio Spafford. Some of you may know him. Very successful lawyer and businessman. He had 5 children. 1 son died when he was very young. 4 daughters and his wife were crossing the Atlantic. Their ship sank. Only the wife escaped. All 4 daughters were killed. He was on his way across the Atlantic to meet his wife. And as they were passing the spot where this accident happened, the ship was wrecked, The captain said, here's where the ship sank. And that's where his daughters were all killed. And you know what song came out of that? When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. This is not a thing of the Israelites, this is not a thing of the disciples. Each one of us, may that be an inspiration as we live in this world, that we can trust in Him to provide us, to strengthen us, to give us all that we need. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time you've given us, O Lord, to be able to spend some time in thy word, to reflect, O Lord, on all that you've done for us. As we look at the Israelites' walk, we look at our lives, O Lord. O Lord, as we look at our lives, we can only see thy faithfulness, how thou hast delivered us time and again, our salvation, everything, O Lord, that you've done for us. But many times, O Lord, we confess, O Lord, that we fall short in fully trusting in their promises, in fully, O Lord, looking to thee for guidance and for deliverance, O Lord, instead trusting in our strength, instead looking as we've lost everything. Help us, O Lord, that in our walk with thee, that we may trust in thee more and more, that we may have the joy that you want us to have, that we may have the peace that you want us to have, that we may have the wisdom that you want us to have, and that may be our walk with thee, O Lord. Help us, O Lord, to remember, as the world looks at us, it's not just our words, it's our life, our testimony. And that as we were looking at that example of fireflies, that we may be fireflies for you in this dark world, pointing people to you, not just by our words, but by our life. Help us, O Lord, to live courageously, victoriously, standing firm, for we know, Lord, that thou is a God that has always delivered, and that thy promises are always true. We praise you, we worship you, in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So can we just sit and I think we're just going to play the video. Yeah, happy to report there was no injuries or falls this time at the games, at the retreat, so everyone came back safely.